We are rolling. Oh, whoop shit. Whoop shit.
Whoop shit. Shit.
Danny, you fucked up again.
There's my other one. Gadfly whoop shit.
Mr. Gadfly whoop shit to you.
Yeah, Mr. All right.
Richard Carlson, no!
Sorry.
This is Dr. Tarr.
This is Professor Feather.
Oh, this is the Midnight Gadfly.
This is Dr. Head, and you are experiencing... Oh, welcome back, fellow inmates. We are continuing our journey on the top 100 sci-fi movies.
More like a meandering.
Top 100 best.
Best, quote-unquote, best sci-fi movies of the 1950s. And, Gadfly, can you remind us of the tally of the last episode, please?
Okay, so we have Feather at 4 movies, which he hasn't seen. We have Tar, hasn't seen 5 of the movies so far. Head hasn't seen 9 of the movies. Midnight Gadfly hasn't seen 16 of the movies.
All right. It's a race.
It's a race. A tight race.
Toit race. Just like Professor Feather's face. Toit.
Oh! Toit. That's due to the preparation age.
Yes. Well, number 75, we have actually done an episode on this, I think.
Yep.
This is the Monolith Monsters.
Oh.
From 1997. Yeah.
I've always liked this movie.
Yeah.
It's
boring. A different science fiction movie. It's a different science fiction movie than anything else you've ever really seen. And for that, you got to give it, total credit.
Yeah. And I think that's what captivated me with it. It was just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love this movie. I do. I love the special effects. I love the build of the story. It's on my sleepy time reel where I have about eight movies where I put on like sleep to.
The acting's not great.
And it's one of those on there. No, but I have insomnia, so I wake up and it's nice to have these movies to watch or at least listen to.
Yeah.
And they're comforting and they're
I've done that.
Sedate, and they kind of try to hopefully get me back to sleep. But the special effects are really wonderful.
And just a great science fiction.
The concept of it was kind of different.
Movie.
And it was
Yes.
I thought the remake would be like, when I first saw it, it was like the remake would be like alien nanotechnology that crashed to Earth and malfunctions. And so it constantly grows crystals. And anyway, that's the remake. How original.
Yeah, how original.
Yeah.
Gadfly, you've seen Monolith Monsters, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like it.
Right. That's right. We did the episodes. That's right. all right. Well, number 74, moving on. Adam Man versus Superman. Another
Superman
pastiche. So I think we can skip right past that.
I've seen that.
Moving on to number 73.
What? Did everybody see that?
Yeah.
Oh,
I did.
Adam Man versus Superman? Oh, okay. I guess I did not ask that.
I've seen
that. Is that supposed to be the Lex Luthor one? I mean,
Adam Man is Lex Luthor. Very well could be. Yeah. But I do. I mean, I loved the serials, and watching them. So it's all good. Number 73 from 1959, we have The Atomic Submarine. Spencer Gordon.
That's
Bennett,
a fun one. I like
Arthur
that
Franz,
one.
Dick Foran.
That's a late night TV staple. That was.
It was. It really was. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep,
I like the very, very comic booky. It was fun.
You're right.
Absolutely.
You're right.
And the alien, if you think about it, the alien looks like in The Simpsons, Krang and
Oh, really? Yeah. That kind of rubbed octopussian.
What would be
octopussian?
Cyclops pussy. Yeah.
This one belongs on the list. This one belongs on the list because it's in the Criterion Collection.
Oh, really? Did it make it in there? Oh, that's kind
of
funny.
I'd like to see a really nice, clean, cleaned up copy of it.
Yeah,
it's been a while since I've
Criterion
seen it.
Would probably be that.
Criterion would be a nice remake. That's
they've
good.
Got their own
channel. Yeah, I've always liked this one, especially when they start talking, and it's just Commander Holloway.
Okay. Well, moving on to number 72. One we all love, Killers from Space.
Yeah.
With Peter Graves, James C., Steve Pendleton. Yeah.
Another. Who made the movie?
W. Lee Wilder.
Oh. For some reason, I thought Mr. Big was involved. Maybe he did the effects.
This was the first episode of Tar and Feather Psycho Cinema.
Yeah.
And a very good episode it was, too. I should say.
Just kidding.
Well,
yeah, Peter Graves stumbling around in a cage, seeing overblown bugs and lizards making all sorts of weird ass sounds. Yeah,
so. And it has Peter Graves driving my favorite, all time favorite car. Of all time, a 1953 Studebaker.
So, watch it.
That's what makes it best.
Push button car.
Studebaker.
All right, Studebaker, on to 1971. Or no, sorry, number 71.
We only wish.
1959, that's right. Get me out of the 50s. We have the Alligator People.
Nope. Oh, yes.
I'll get you, Alligator Man.
Beverly Garland and Bruce Bennett, Lon Chaney Jr., the Alligator People.
I've not seen it.
I
kind of like the makeup. I thought it was kind of cool.
I don't too. Know if I've seen it.
And he's nicely trim and buckled pants and shoes. you just don't see a well-dressed alligator. Like that.
The well-dressed alligator these days.
You say it was 1959?
Mm-hmm.
What year?
Yep.
1959. Yeah. I saw it at the theater at the, it was called the Wiser, where they had the triple layer.
That'd be
second,
cool.
Second layer and then the mezzanine up at the top, you know, whatever it was called. And I remember seeing this movie as a triple feature because, you know, I've talked about this before. We'd go there at noon and we'd be there till 5 o'clock or, you know, something like that. They'd show three movies usually, a bunch of shorts, cartoons and stuff. But I remember this movie specifically because this was one of the movies I sat through. I didn't run around because I kind of liked the movie. And I sat there and watched all my friends going, come on, let's go. I go, no, man, I want to watch this.
I'm digging Cajun Lon Chaney.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I'll get you, Alligator Man. With his hook.
All right. Well, we are moving on to number 70, World Without End.
With
Hugh Marlowe, Nancy Gates. Yes.
No.
Another post-apocalyptic movie here.
This is the start of those things. And it's just like,
yeah.
There was like a whole cycle of these kind of same thing going on with the astronauts.
That was like the new thing. It was on the cusp of that was the cutting technology. And this is where we're going.
Queen from Outer Space and all that kind of stuff. That was just.
Yeah.
No, this one was okay. It was okay.
It was the first. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is when they like catapult into the future, like a different reality, kind of a future reality.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. It's quick and to the point, you know,
that's true.
Yeah. It's a fun movie.
And don't they use like leftover spacesuits from Forbidden Planet? Is that this one?
I think, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So, he had to get
it. Oh, and they have the big jumping spider that, like, jumps on him at one point.
It's kind of awesome. So
more like dropped on him, but okay.
But they forgot the motor for the spider, so the guy had to just make it look like he was wrestling on, right? Yes. All right, number 69. We are quickly moving up that list. Hey, 69. We have From Perfect. The Earth to the Moon with Joseph Cotten, George Sanders, and Deborah Padgett.
I've seen it.
Exactly. I've my thoughts, it. Dr. Tarr. Yep. Yeah, it's like, yeah.
It's boring. It's so boring. Very dry.
Yeah.
Should be, yeah. It like lacked all. It was, weren't there a lot of other movies like this Victorian sci-fi, H.G. Wells. Steampunk?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of H.G. Yeah. Wells.
There's movies, other movies like that being
and inspired,
made.
This one's just.
But there's no that, fun to this.
No, this one was supposed to be like an H.G. Wells kind of like story. Right. It had that feel, but it's just, no, it's not
so
good at all.
So flat. And it just
definitely is.
It's like, no, there's no need to watch this again. You know, I do like those movies and I did as a kid, but this one is just, nah.
Yeah, this wasn't it. Yeah.
So, any thoughts on this one, Gadfly?
I saw it. I saw it. It was like one of those afternoon movies, like on a Saturday or something.
Yeah.
And it was, and you just, it's forgettable, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And another forgettable movie by Burt I. Gordon comes in at number 68. We have Attack of the Puppet People, starring John Agar and John Hoyt, June Kenney.
John Hoyt! Hoyt!
Yes.
John Agar!
I mean, it's Burt I. Gordon, him. John Agar, right.
Low budget. I did Shirley Temple!
Yes, yeah, you say that every time.
Because I did Shirley Temple!
I don't drink Shirley Temples. No.
I just do them.
I did.
Oh, there's so many things I'm going to stay quiet about.
Yes.
Not a good movie.
No, it's not. It's not. But it involves attacks and people and puppets.
And puppets.
not necessarily in that order.
You were talking about how Burt I. Gordon, you know, how he had that. And it looks okay in the stills. But all he did was like take pictures of these guys and like reduce the pictures and cut them out, put them in those tubes.
Yeah, it was pretty, so it was done like nicely. The glass kind of reflected.
Oh, yeah.
It was a pretty cool effect.
That was not a bad effect. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so cheap. But yeah, you compare that to, what was it? Bride of Frankenstein, when all the little homunculi got out. That movie, being made then, that's a whole nother level of stuff. But that was just cool effect. Anyway.
All right, number 67. Bernard
Gordon.
From Edgar G. Olmer, The Man from Planet X. Starring Robert Clark, Margaret Field, and Raymond Bond. Raymond Bond.
I like this one, too.
We have an alien invasion film.
Is it?
Kinda.
You're never quite sure.
And why not?
And I like the way he looked. I like his spacesuit, the way he looked. And for a cheap movie, I thought that was.
Do you see this one, Gadfly?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen this one.
That was, by the way, that was Sally Field's mom. For anybody that knows Sally Fields, that hung out with.
So when we
Flying
lived
Nun.
When the we lived out.
Nun. Yeah.
Yeah. Attica, Ohio.
Flying Dung. Yeah.
What'd you say, Gadfly?
We lived out in Attica, Ohio. And so that's like, there would be these Saturday afternoons where, you know, you're out in the middle of fucking nowhere and the antenna's working and you'd have that fucking movie come on, you know? And that's where Bride of the Monster was, where I saw that as well, you know, all those kind of things. So.
That's awesome. Great memory. All right, moving on up. So this one, I'm a little surprised. It's number 66. It's Kaltiki, the immortal monster.
Mario Bava.
Mario Bava. Yeah.
I didn't mind this.
I didn't mind and best are really worlds apart for me. You know,
right.
Confused.
I like the monster blob thing. It was all right.
I guess we just have
creepy.
To. We just have to realize that. You know, we're just talking about more of the worst movies.
Yes, we are.
Comparatively better, perhaps.
Maybe not.
Yeah, this one.
But Kaltiki was made, around the same time The Blob and
It came out
The H-Men.
The Blob was about, 58, 59?
Something like that,
yeah. Yeah, and this is 59.
And then The H-Men.
H-Men too. Is 58, yeah.
I haven't seen this one, but I've heard of it.
Yeah,
you haven't seen all it? The no, blobby.
I've heard of it.
Monsters.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. Speaking of the H-Man, that's what comes in at number 65. The Shiro Honda's H. Yes, this kind of crime thriller with this kind of this science fiction element and this radiation, the radiation poisoning and the effects. It's almost like you got the body horror thing too going on.
Yeah, it's kind of Men in Black.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told the story that I saw this at the theater, and they gave us these little sponges that were man-shaped, you know, and you took them in they would expand, you know. So we took them in, expanded them. We got a couple of them.
Throw.
We're only supposed to get one. Then we went up into the balcony and threw them down at people.
Oh, man. Oh, I bet they loved that.
That's cool that they handed out little sponges, though. I think
I wish I'd have kept one. That would have been kind of
They did that for I went to the drive-in out. The Portage Drive-In. I went out here and they were showing Slithus, and that's the first time I ever had Slithus. But anyway, they passed out little sponges packeted, you know, because he's like a mud monster or whatever the fuck he was.
Yeah.
Anyway. They handed out something. It was kind of cool.
Wow. I thought
that was kind of fun.
I'd like everybody to visit our TeePublic site so they can buy the t-shirt that says, I saw this in the theater.
That's right. <Yeah.
laughs>
We are in the
That's a good design. You know, that's right. Yeah, we should
I've seen a lot of these movies in the theater.
That's right. All right. Well, number 64, we have The Lost Missile from 1958, starring Robert Loggia.
Loggia.
Parker and Kitty Kelly.
It's pretty short, isn't it?
70 minutes. I have not seen The Lost Missile.
That's an hour and 10 minutes.
I've seen it. I kind of like it. It was a late night movie, and it was different just because, you know, at first you think it's like, Cold War, you know, someone's shooting an intercontinental missile at you. But then it turns out that it came from outer space, and it's an alien craft or whatever it is.
Spoiler alert.
Like, you're gonna go out and look at this. Fuck.
Well, anyway, I put it on my list.
It gets stuck in orbit, but it's low, but its shockwave is causing like this area to burn. It's like literally incinerating everything in its path because it's so low and creating all this. I thought that was kind of a cool idea, and they were trying to knock it out of orbit again, but anyway.
A big microwave.
For a short bad movie, that was okay. I liked it. Robert Loggia.
All right. Well, moving on.
I did not see that, by the way.
Oh, okay. Professor Fitter does not see that. All right.
I probably did, but absolute no memory of it. So I
know. So
How do you forget
Loggia? Go back and look at it sometime.
What's that?
How do you forget Loggia?
Loggia. Apparently this one. But.
I do like him. I do like Robert Loggia.
All right. Well, you also like the lead actor in this next movie. John Agar stars in The Mole People.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
With Leave It to the Mole People. Hugh Beaumont.
Yep.
Now, interesting.
I'll be back.
My next
movie, I'll be back, honey, with the psychedelics.
My next movie was going to play another homage to Leave It to Beaver because, you know, there is an homage to this in Quest for Uranus with the Mary June Cleaver character. And then the next movie was going to be from Inappropriate Stories for Children. The porn crew is shooting a movie, and the movie they're shooting is called Leave It on the Beaver. So there we go.
Well, I paid homage
back to the mole people.
You know, I paid homage to a lot of beavers.
Damn you. Damn you. Yeah.
Right. Hundreds of beavers.
Hundreds of beavers.
Hundreds of beavers. Oh, what were we thinking? Beaver pelts.
Let's not get carried away. Let's not get carried away.
Oh, we've already have. Sorry.
I'm a bit more discerning. A connoisseur.
Kind of sewer.
Sewer is where.
Kind of sewer, yeah.
Connie Sewer, I knew her.
Connie Sewer.
That's a porn name.
Hi, everybody. I'm Connie Sewer.
Well, speaking of sewer, we are moving on up to number 62. Roger Corman, Attack of the Crab Monsters.
In this suit.
That's right. Richard Garland, Pamela Duncan, Russell Johnson. Yeah, Attack of the Crab Monsters. I love the crabs. You've never had the crabs. These are the crabs you want.
They ran out of their special effects budget, so they used the silhouettes of the crabs.
No, that was...
was that a different one? What was that?
That was...
hold on. Oh, no, didn't they do
teenage,
that? Just,
teenage...
yeah,
that
was, yeah, they did that.
Teenagers from Outer Space.
I thought they did this one, too.
No, they had those big... crabs.
Well, I know they showed them, but I thought there was also places where they used the silhouette. Maybe I could be wrong.
You're looking at wrong. The. Yeah,
you could be wrong. Okay, yeah, yeah. I saw this on TV late at night.
This one kind of creeped me out, even though the crabs
I like
are
the
goofy.
Talking. Yeah,
yeah.
I like
the idea that they're eating your brains and absorbing your knowledge.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool.
And then that guy getting his hand smashed when the rock falls at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah,
when I was a little kid, that freaked me out. And he's like holding up his hand. Is this that stuff? Yeah, that kind of freaked me out. That was.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of the movie, although I've seen it.
Yeah,
it's one that I want to go back and rewatch again. Like some of these other movies that I remember seeing, like, oh god, this was bad. But I want to watch them again because I know how bad they're going to be.
Oh, it's
and now I just want to try and enjoy it. If you know, especially for
and it kind of explains why the crabs look so goofy to begin with. Maybe they're that's just part of the mutation to it, but. Yeah, but they have the big googly eyes.
They're not terrifying. Terrifying in the worst ways, maybe.
Now, I haven't seen this movie in, God, years. But, I mean, decades.
What's his name? Paul Blastel did. Created the... I don't think he's credited, but he made the crab.
Right.
Him and Bob Burns.
Well, we are moving on to number 61 from 1953. We have Lou Ayers in Donovan's Brain.
Oh yeah,
Nancy Davis.
That's pretty good.
Another one of the Brain movies.
Right.
Another remake. So they're already into remakes.
That's true.
Wasn't there one before this? What was that called? In the 40s, Lady and the Monster.
I think it was. Yeah. It was,
but it was the same story. Yeah. Donovan's Brain thing going on.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I've heard of it, but I've not seen it.
Haven't you?
Is it good?
Wasn't it Donovan's Brain originally a novel or a short story?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Kurt.
Was Sudamek? It Kurt Siedmak? Siedmak?
Siedmak. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to number 60. It Conquered the World.
Roger Cucumber Corman. Monster.
Yes. Woo! Yes. Peter Graves returns from the graves with Beverly Garland and Lee Van Cleef, who I expect I expect to hear the music from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly every time I see Lee Van
and another Cleef. Paul Blastel monster, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, this is a great, great fun movie.
Yeah, I enjoy it. Yeah. Yeah,
I have.
God, he's only come here for peace.
Tar and I have drawings of this monster because we watched it for a drawing.
Yeah,
actually did drawings.
It's a ridiculous looking monster, you know. But it's great. It's fun.
Yeah, it's a fun movie.
How do you know what it's like to live on Venus, fucker?
That's probably better than what they say.
I don't judge you making monkeys by anything. So yeah,
through the thick atmosphere.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well,
these teeth.
Moving on to the 50s, number 59. This is one of my all-time favorite favorite episode of Mystery Science Theater, Rocket Ship XM.
Rocket Ship XM with
Boyd Bridges. There's some other great ones. I love the Godzilla ones they do, but this one is the one I got my cousins into MST through this movie. I watch it now and oh my God, it's so slow. So fucking slow. Even with the joking, it's so,
you youngsters
so painfully
don't
slow.
It's like to watch it without the MST.
That's even worse.
Yeah. I borrowed heavily from this movie for Quest for Uranus.
Yes.
Some of the scenes, I'm like wholesale lifted because I just, I'm like, oh, this is so bad. I have to use it. Almost like the dialogue verbatim because it's just as comical.
I don't think it was this one, but there was like a slew of these space travel movies at the time. But one of them, I swear to God, they had all their space chairs were office chairs with the wheels. And they kept yes.
I don't know, wasn't this one, was it? It was a different one.
I don't know. I think they had
they had like little hammocks or something for this
one. Yeah, I do remember.
No, but this one, they were.
I remember that too.
I wish I knew what that was, but it's probably like Fire Maiden.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was.
Try not to shoot the wheels.
Try not to put them in the shots.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
And they all bounce around like the pinball machine.
Yeah, I would probably not really ever want to watch this movie without the MST treatment. You know,
It's pretty hard to take.
It is hard. So. Okay, number 58, a movie I've seen only once, and I didn't really care for it. From 1959, we have The Angry Red Planet.
I love this movie.
Yeah, I like this one too.
I want to watch it again and give it another fair chance.
This is pure comic book.
What's the guy's name? The actor?
Gerald Moore.
Yeah.
Nora Hayden.
Wasn't he the voice of Mr. Fantastic for like the very first
I don't know,
Fantastic Four cartoon in the 60s?
Could be. Yeah. This is a cartoon movie. You're absolutely right. This is,
and I like it.
It's so much fun.
When I was a little kid, it had everything. It had the monsters, spacecraft, ray guns, all the
color. Yeah, I need to give it a chance.
The colors.
The music, even was kind of snazzy.
That's true.
I think by the time I got to see this, it had been so built up in my head from reading it for decades and like Famous Monsters and all these other movies. I was like expecting like Citizen fucking Kane, you know? And I'm watching it.
But
like,
it is in a way.
I watched, I was in my 20s and I'm like, watch this. God, it's really not that good, you know? And I never came back to it. But I want to. It's like, no, it's too important of a movie. I want to go back. I see so many people citing this as an influence or whatever. And I'm like, okay, I got to go back and watch this. Hopefully I won't be.
It's just fun.
Gadfly, did you see this?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, okay. I've seen it multiple times. I actually really like this one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun.
All right. Well, we are moving on to number 57. From 1957, we have Invasion of the Saucer Men. Yes,
Stephen Terrell. I like Gordon this Castillo. Movie.
Yeah, same here.
There you go. Kang from, what is it? Aren't the aliens the same as Kang from Homer Simpson?
Oh, from The Simpsons?
Yeah.
They had that bulbous head. Have that look with a humanoid thing. I remember being kind of really creeped out by this movie when I was a kid. The scenes, because the needles come out of their hands, their fingers.
And they can
inject, you know, and it was like, I'm like, oh shit, these needles. I'm like, and they're dripping. I'm like, oh fuck it. Yeah, it scared me.
It's so topical that the whole, you know, teenagers and, you know, drinking and and pretty funny. It's actually got some pretty, pretty funny moments in it too, I think.
Yeah, didn't MST do one of these as well with this?
They might have. I don't know.
It might have been Riff Tracks too. I don't know. I mean, you know, because I get those kind of confused sometimes. But
they kind of,
Yeah,
I really like this one.
Yes, I do too. Yeah, it's a fun movie.
Tar loves it too.
Yeah, Tar loves
it.
I think it was a Paul Blaisdell.
Yeah.
Monster, I think. We'll ask Tar when he comes back.
Tar's a big fan. But we're going to move on to number 56. From 1956, we have The Werewolf with Stephen Rich and Don McGowan and Joyce Holden. It shows a different spin, I think, on the werewolf movie. You know, a guy who he definitely has lycanthropy and, turns into this werewolf. But it takes a different track than the Universal, you know, as far as what happens. Like, they don't really go a lot into the backstory. It's kind of a slow plotting movie out in the country, and it's okay.
Is anybody else seen it?
Which one?
The werewolf.
The werewolf.
Yeah. You're right. I want to like it. I kind of like the way it looks. I mean, it was a different take on werewolves.
A different take.
Mm-hmm. Even though he looks like in The Howling at the very end when they show her turn into the cutesy little werewolf.
It does kind of look like that, yeah. Tar, the movie,
white nose.
The movie we talked about before was Invasion of the Saucer Man.
Oh, sorry. That's one of my
favorites. Who did the makeup? Who did the costuming?
Paul Blaisdell.
I was right. Yeah. I said that. Already.
We all pretended we were you.
Get the confirmation from you.
Yeah, we all pretended we were you reviewing this movie.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Invasion of the Saucer Man, Tar?
That's always been one of my favorites. It's just the imagery. I like that one. And just the, yeah. And what's his name? Played the Riddler. What's
his name? Cesar Romero.
No.
Frank Gorshin.
Yes. Yes.
Played the Riddler.
Yeah, he was in this.
Exactly. Anyway, yeah, the aliens had some good alcoholic needles.
Yeah, had some good comedic moments in it.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
What's the guy from, what was the big sci-fi TV show in the 50s? The other guy that plays, he played like the sidekick for Captain Video? Was it Captain Video? Or...
I don't know.
I can't remember who it is.
It's the guy with the big bushy eyebrow. Anyway,
so moving on, we're talking about the werewolf. We pretty much talked about it already. So
yeah, and now
have you seen the werewolf, Gadfly?
No.
Okay, that's kind of an odd one.
I've got it if you want it. Collection.
We all went.
The reviews were. Yeah, I'm only going for the ones that people are saying that good. So.
Oh, okay. Now we can trick them. Number 55. We have Mario Bava, Lust of the Vampire. I remember.
Is this called something else?
Probably.
Lust
of the Vampire, 1957.
I do not remember it. I don't think I've ever
seen it.
I want to see
Barbara Steele. I'm just guessing.
She was in quite a lot. No, it was Ute Stensgaard.
Oh,
Ralph Bates.
Ralph
Bates. Ralph Bates.
Yes,
you knew him when he was little.
Master. You know, I don't think I have seen this one. I've seen there was another vampire movie that came out in the 50s that was just utter garbage, but it wasn't this one. So I have not seen this one.
I don't recognize this.
Me neither.
I mean, I like Bava's directorial style. I do like a lot of his movies, but I've just not seen this one. All right, moving up to 1954. Whew, we're almost done with the 51 this episode. That's where we're going. We have Frankenstein 1970. With Boris Karloff. Yes. Yeah. Jane Lund.
What year did this come out?
This came out in 1958.
58?
Yeah.
Still.
I saw it in 1962 on TV in Florida. Like a Saturday afternoon. I take it back. It wasn't Saturday afternoon. No, yes, it was. This one was a Saturday afternoon. Like
I think it was a Sunday afternoon or whatever it was. But it was, And I might add, the most disappointing fucking monster I've ever seen.
Yes. I agree.
I think the beginning is better than what the monster is.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah.
Yeah, it's always fun watching Carl.
I've never seen it.
Where's my waste paper basket?
Either.
I've not seen it. Yeah. No, I looked it up. I'm like, nope, there's another Frankenstein. There's a Dracula. Boris is great. Or something. Yeah, I've not seen this one.
I like him in the movie. The monster.
It's just kind of a weird, stupid movie anyway. Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of weird, stupid, here's another one I don't think any of us have seen from reading the names. It's animated, called A Journey to the Beginning of Time.
Yes, I have seen that.
I've seen it,
All right. They showed it as a kid's movie.
Yeah.
As I saw it, it was like a Czech movie, and it's kind of like the kids get on a raft and they get on the river and they go back in time and they see these.
Oh, wow.
The dinosaurs are really kind of cool.
Yeah. It's not a bad movie.
That's a great kids movie.
Yeah. It definitely is. Yes. I agree.
I've not seen that one at all.
No, never even heard of it. But it reminds me of like
a few Disney, of us have.
It reminds me of the Disney ride. You know, there's a Disney ride where you kind work of way through the history of a. Or the history of progress or something
like
really?
That.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, you start in the cave, like, you know, building fire, and you move your way all gradually.
Because then they go to, like, mammals
that's pretty cool.
Stuff like that. And,
So you have that.
I've never been to, what is it?
I've never been either.
Disney World?
I watched some walkthroughs on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes they go on the rides. You can kind of experience it.
Oh, really?
It, you know? That's kind of interesting. Then I know parts that I'd like to see in person. Other parts are like, no, I don't need to see
exactly.
That. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, number 52 was a movie I know that we have all seen.
I've seen that one.
Yes. Abbott and Costello go to Mars.
Dumb as fuck. That is dumb as fuck movie. I'm serious.
It is definitely like one of the best 100 science fiction movies of the 50s.
It's so bad, but I do like the effects. I love the rocket ship flying through New York and all that bullshit. And it just, it is really super bad. But
this is the one that has that spider.
And it's already making fun of like all the Space Maiden.
The spider movies, with the lasers, you know. Right? That's the one at this one, right? The flame spider?
No, that was Three Stooges.
That was the Three Stooges.
No, oh, was it? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's two Three Stooges one. That,
yeah, okay. Three Stooges in orbit. And
okay.
Yeah, forget
go to.
Go to Mars or something, wasn't it? Or go
get, something.
Forget, yeah, what? Have rocket will travel.
Have rocket.
Yeah, will that's
travel.
It.
That's it.
That's yeah.
It. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I.
Hey, whatever.
Go to Mars. I probably have. I used to watch them all the time. All the Abbott Costello movies when I was a kid.
And like I said, but it's so stupid. It is really stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
the giant.
Abbott Costello movie is not stupid.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they're all pretty bad. I mean, I like the universal one. Like Abbott Costello and Frankenstein. Yeah. They're fun. They're still
the best bad, two. I think were Catch That Ghost and Abbott Costello Meet Frankenstein. I like those two.
Yeah, those are fun. And our last one in this episode, number 51, we have Flight to Mars with Marguerite Chapman, Cameron Mitchell, Arthur France.
Cameron Mitchell.
Flight to Mars from 1951. I don't know that I've seen this.
Which is kind of, isn't this kind of like a repeat of, what's the earlier one? What year was this? I'm sorry.
1951.
51.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. They go there and they're wearing destination moon spacesuits, aren't they?
The
inhabitants.
Of Mars. It's like, they go to...
Has Morris Ackerman?
They go to... This one is by the scientific expedition team. They go to Mars and they find out that it's inhabited. And like a humanoid civilization.
They appear to be friendly.
Right. But...
they want to steal the rocket ship. And
I don't know all details, but...
Yes.
I don't know if I've seen this then.
I haven't either.
The color's great, but...
Yeah.
But they're wearing like the destination... The Mars people... Wear the destination moon spacesuits with all the bright colors and all that stuff, and it's and the American astronauts are wearing the flight jackets with the gas masks.
And those movies in this time period were kind of like that.
That's pure pulp stuff, dude.
The landscape is all like desert. Pretty bad.
Flag heat.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So that's it.
All right. Yeah. I think we are at our number 51. We've got 50 more to go. So we've done it. I think we have done it.
So let's get the tally of the score here.
Through 50 movies, we have Gadfly.
Are we going to do another one?
Feather is in the lead.
Okay.
With having only not seen 6. Tar has not seen 7. Dr. Head has not seen 14. Midnight Gadfly has not seen 26. Wow. Over half of what we've done so far.
I'm hoping that as these 50 movies, I think more and more, we'll have seen more and more of them. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
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 So, because I haven't looked at the whole list. I've seen number 1, and I know we've all seen that one. So I'm assuming anyway, hey, this has been fun.
Yeah, you guys want to watch me take a dump? Say!
The best 100 dumps of the 1950s.
Get women of the moon.
Or at least 50.
Diddy.
have been experiencing.
Unsane Radio at gmail.com in case you want to write us. Unsaneradio.com. You can get every episode so far up there. Every episode so far up there. And Unsane Radio is on Facebook, tarnfeather.com, a nice website. Tarn Feather Psycho Cinema is on YouTube.
And not nice. Nice.
Tarn Feather Psycho Cinema is on Facebook.
And Heavy Metal Horror Podcast is on Facebook. Heavy Metal Horror Podcast is on the YouTubes. And Montag Lewis is on the Instagrams. Heavy Metal Horror. And don't forget We Freaks, WEEFREEKZ, family friendly webcomic on Facebook by our beloved Blue Fez.
And I'd like to do a shout out to Weird Sisters Radio.com. 7 nights a week at 8 o'clock, 11 o'clock Eastern time is a different DJ, different styles of music for every night. I particularly like two very much. Actually, I like them all pretty well, but I like two, Prog Frog Radio Hour with Evil Dr. Toad, and Ghetto of My Mind with Beecha, which is on Sunday nights. She plays some truly obscure good stuff, and Prog Frog always he comes through with some of the best progressive rock from the 70s on, and stuff from Europe, Scandinavia. That I'm a big prog rock fan, but a lot of these that he finds I've never heard. And he also gets into some later stuff in the 90s, 2000s. Weird Sisters Radio.com. Prog Frog is on Monday nights at 11 EDT, and Beecha is on Sunday nights at 11 Eastern time. Run by Molly the K, who also has a show called Down the Rabbit Hole on Friday nights. And it's a very good show, too. She's very good.
Midnight Gadfly. He's working on Hot Topics.
Huh?
He's working on Hot Topics. He's got the goth emo adult diaper. Shit is sad.
And playing the theremin. Yeah. Built-in theremin. So he's like, oh, he's constantly rubbing. Check out. That's it. Theremin diapers. Keep your old people occupied while they poop their pants.
As it comes out.
Oh, listen to this, honey.
Activated.
I just turned the music up as high as possible.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I'm only doing the adult diapers because they wouldn't let me model the Wednesday Addams line at Hot Topics.
I didn't fit into the little kids.
Hey, now. Phrasing. Jesus